Before I open with a word of prayer here for the message time, I wanted to just stop and say thank you to this church family. This is the first time in 8 weeks that I've had a chance to stand up and to offer the message on a Sunday morning, and that's because 8 weeks ago we had a baby. And a wonderful blessing. Little things were a little crazy. My wife has a herniated disc and a lot of challenges in the Collins family the last few weeks. I just want to say thank you for all of your love and support, your cards, meals that were prepared, gifts for the baby, and just prayers that you gave us and all of your love and support. I just thank you for that. We are hugely blessed to be a part of this church, and just thank you for that. Let's stop with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that this message does not originate with me, that these are not my words, that they're not even my thoughts, Lord, but that this may come from you, that it may speak to each of us and accomplish your will in our lives. Pray this in your name. Amen. A question that I think we need to ask ourselves. It's kind of a deep question, but important. And maybe we've thought about it, maybe we've never asked this type of question, but here's the question that I'd like to ask us this morning. If we were accused, charged with being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict us? Take a moment, think about that. Maybe some of you have thought about that before. Maybe you're like, oh, what are you getting at, Pastor Mike? If somebody accused you or charged you with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Now, we're fortunate in this country. Not all Christians in the world can say this, but in this country, we still have freedom of religion. We still can gather and worship and pray and read our Bible, and we're allowed to do that without being persecuted or receiving any kind of trouble. It's not always convenient, not always a popular thing to profess belief in Christ and follow Jesus, but we are allowed to do that without fear of persecution. But still, the question is, if someone were to charge you with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I think that's a great question. I think we really should ask this question of ourselves regularly, daily even, maybe, to help us be mindful, how are we living? Well, let me ask this, flip it around. If you stand before God one day at the end of your life, and God plays the film, reviews the tapes, is there enough evidence in your life to convince God that you're a Christian? Huh. That's a question that we should ask ourselves, that there's not a good answer to it. But maybe we should be asking this question regularly. The passage that Ken read for us from James has some tough truth in it, tough points in here. And he quoted another passage from James that gets on this as well. In this passage, James says to us, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Does anybody hear the language there? We tend to think Jesus already did all the work, right? There's nothing left to be done. We are saved. James here says this word, this truth of God, of the gospel of Jesus, can save you. It hasn't necessarily already saved you, but it can save you. How about this one? It says, Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, the only thing to our religion isn't simply the way that we use our tongues. James is making a point that it matters how we act. It matters how we live our lives. It matters the decisions we make in our lives. All of that matters eternally. The question is, do we pay attention to that? How are we living our lives? Do we live our lives a different way Monday through Saturday than we do during this hour on Sunday morning? It's very easy when we gather in this holy place and sing hymns and listen to scripture and have prayer and listen to a pastor preach the word and watch little kids listen to the word and do all that we do on Sunday morning. It's easy to believe the truth, to understand the truth, and to be convinced and fired up to apply that to our lives. But then, you know, after a rough meeting on Wednesday afternoon, or when you have a hard time with the kids on Saturday, or whatever else might be happening in life, it's difficult sometimes for us to keep that in mind. The other thing that James says is, religion that God, our Father, accepts us pure and faultless as this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's hard, isn't it? To keep yourself from being polluted by the world. The world is all around us. We run into the world everywhere we go. Here, right now, we're in the church with God in His kingdom. You know, sort of a safe little bubble right here that we have right now. But 99% of our life is spent out in the world. And by world, that word world, James is using that word as that which is opposite of God and His kingdom and truth and righteousness and everything good and holy. The world is the flip side of that. The things that, you know, cause us to fall. And he's saying the world, he's reminded us, the world is there to pull us away, to distract us, to lie to us, to convince us that we don't need God or the church or faith. James is saying that's important. The way you live your life, the way you act, the decisions you make matter. And I don't think any of us would argue otherwise. We know Jesus has a plan for us. And we know Jesus has an expectation of how we live. The question is, are we doing it? Are we living our lives in a way that glorifies God? Are we living our lives in a way that we know we're supposed to live them? When every moment it's so easy to get distracted or pulled off of that track. If someone were to charge us with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Well, that's a good question. But why is it that we need to pay attention? Why is it that we need to live our lives a certain way? Why is it that we need to be mindful of the way that we live? After all, didn't Jesus die on the cross and we're good to go? Unfortunately, I think that's the theology of the day. We focus on the grace of God. God is a God of grace and love and forgiveness, and Jesus died that horrible death to give us the wonderful gift of life, and that's a huge blessing, and we celebrate that grace. But God is more than a God of grace. He's a God of holiness and righteousness. And He wants us not just to be saved, although He wants that. He He wants to have a relationship with us forever. But he wants us to live our lives in a certain way so that his will can be done. There are three reasons I'm going to lift up this morning for why we need to pay attention, why we need to strive, why we need to work hard to grow our faith and connect more deeply with God every day. The first is, it blesses us. When we commit to God, when we live our lives according to his expectations, and we avoid the world, like James instructs us, and when we cling to that faith and we work at growing that faith and strengthening that faith, there's huge blessings for us. Not blessings like we tend to think, like financial blessings, a big house, a big car. Blessings like joy and peace and contentment and amazement and love. And just that overwhelming sense of confidence in God. And that wonderful sense of community and connection with others. All those blessings come from God, and only from God. They don't come from the world. When we work at our faith, when we give it all to what God wants from us, are mindful every day, those blessings increase and multiply in our lives. And the other reason is, not only does it bless us, but it blesses others. When we work at our faith, when we're mindful and conscious and living out of the Word, not just hearing the Word, but doing the Word, it blesses everyone. Because when the world sees us, when those who are in the world see us, they see the way that we act. They see the way that we react. They see the way that we love. They look at our priorities. And they know that we're a Christian. Then that, it's like wildfire. It spreads. It's hugely contagious. That joy, that peace, that contentment that we have because of who we are in Christ, that is amazingly contagious. And the world will get it if it originates with us. So it blesses us, it blesses others, but it blesses God also. When we are obedient and mindful and live our lives for God, God is blessed. God created each and every one of us to be in relationship with him, to live our lives in response to his wonderful love and wonderful gifts and wonderful blessings. And the way that we respond to that love and that gift of creation and salvation is not just hearing the word, but doing the word. Not just understanding the gospel, but living out the gospel in our lives. When we live our lives in response to God because we love God, that is a huge blessing to God. And God takes that and it multiplies the blessings all across the world. So we are called to be mindful, purposeful in the way that we live, because we want to be blessed, we want others to be blessed, and we want God to be blessed. But Pastor Mike, how in the world do we do that? That's a tall order. If you're anything like me, every day, if I were to ask myself when I go to bed, did I do anything today to build a case for myself that I am a Christian? Did I speak, have a conversation today? Did I do a nice deed? Did I do anything that proved that I am not a Christian today? When we ask those questions, most of the time we're like, oh man, I hope nobody tries to convict me today because I'm going to be in trouble. I didn't do very good. Most of us would be like, I'm lucky just to show up at church, or I'm lucky just to even acknowledge that God exists in the world, let alone prove that I'm a Christian today. I mean, that's okay. We're all there. And we go through seasons. Mountain, valley. Not a single one of us ever has had it all figured out all the time, except for Jesus. But what God wants from us, what he expects from us, is forward motion. He wants us to be mindful. He wants us to have a desire. He wants us to be striving to be a Christian, to live our lives in response to Christ. And we can't do it on our own. We can't do it. It doesn't just happen. A case does not get built for us of strong faith on our own. It takes a community. Sandra mentioned growth groups and classes. And we've got great plans for this fall for the church. We would love for every single member of this congregation to get plugged into a growth group. So what's a growth group, Pastor Mike? A growth group? That sounds kind of weird. A growth group is simply a small group, a long-term small group, 8 to 12 people or so that you just live life with. You spend time, intentional weekly time with that small group of people, investing into each other's lives, asking tough questions, having tough conversations, serving together, praying together, studying the Bible together, fasting together, doing all the things that we're supposed to do, but doing them together. Therefore, thereby growing together in faith. I encourage everyone to work with Sandra, sign up online, and join a growth group. We can't do it on our own. The world's kind of like a velociraptor. Has anybody seen the dinosaur movies? You know, the devil tries to separate you from the herd. You gotta stay together. Pray for one another and support one another and love each other. But there's also classes. We have many classes, Bible studies, different classes, studying different topics, different scriptures, different books of the Bible, different times of the day. Some are only for women, some are only for men, some are just all kinds of different opportunities to learn, to sit down and open your Bible and be intentional about studying the Word of God together. Many of us, as Sandra said, 200 people committed to doing the Bible gospel in 90 days. But if you're anything like me, you got behind regularly. That's because we're trying to do it on our own. We need the support and fellowship, encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ. Join a class. Join a growth group. Go on a retreat. Emmaus or one of the others. Be intentional. Because you know what? If we're intentional about our faith, if we have a genuine desire to step out, to move forward in our faith and grow, Jesus is faithful to take us by the hand and lead us along. Do we trust Jesus that he'll do that? Do we trust that when we have done that, that we will be blessed, and the world will be blessed, and God will be blessed? Because when somebody accuses you one day of being a Christian, I want each and every one of us to say to that person, guilty as charged. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you're an amazing God, and you want so many blessings for us. Lord, help us to take that first step. Help us to step out of our comfort zone. Help us to trust you and lean on you. Lord, we don't want the status quo. We want to grow. And we trust that you will help us to do that. Amen.